Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward is here. How you doing, Chris?
Good morning.
Chris works for our news team.
I do, yes.
American Family Radio, onenewsnow.com. And in Kansas City, Kansas, is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Still golf weather there in Kansas City?
For about the next 30 minutes.
And then kaboom?
Kaboom. The rain is on the way. So, yeah. You know, better play fast. And then it... Then
gotcha. It's one of those things where you hit your drive, and if you hit it with the wind, it goes like 300 yards.
That's right.
If you hit it against the wind, it comes back and hits you in the face.
That's exactly right.
Hey, yesterday we had an interesting show yesterday. We got off a little bit on the different days that, Ray, you weren't with us, but we were talking about the different days in recent American history. By recent, I mean last 75 years that we all remember that sort of shook the nation. Yes. And we had a lot of great responses on our Facebook page.
Yes,
right,
we did. Absolutely. And folks are just remembering this, remembering that.
Right.
You know, we kind of immediately came up with December 7th, 1941, not that we personally remember it, but the attack on Pearl Harbor, the assassination of President Kennedy.
Then 9-11 would probably be number three, wouldn't it?
But then we started remembering
the
Challenger explosion and Columbine, and I mean just all kinds of events that you know, you really think about and you go, wow, those were biggies, and we might not all remember for every one
Columbine,
of them.
There was a lot of mention yesterday that we didn't mention on the air.
Right.
That we all remember. But you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, Today's Issues and YouTube, Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues and check that out. And you can watch the show there. And we're posting the stories that we're talking about today as well. So thank you for joining us. It was a very interesting discussion yesterday. And, you know, even though we got off what we had planned to talk about, 9-11, we did plan to talk about, then led to other memories. You're old enough to remember John F. Kennedy's assassination, right, Ray?
I can remember being in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
And our principal came in, and he said four words. He walked into the room, and he said, "They shot the president." And when you're in the fifth grade, you don't even have a frame of reference. You don't know what that means, but frozen in time, that moment, absolutely, I remember it.
Wow. Yeah, you would remember. There are a handful of days we all remember where you know where you were. You remember where you were when it happened. Chris, we got items in the news to discuss today.
We do. Go ahead. One thing you're going to hear a lot about, even on the network you purposely choose to watch because it might avoid some of these things, but there's a debate tonight of the Democrat or the candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination. This time around...
What's the NFL game?
Tampa versus Carolina. I'll mention that in a second. That's a good...
Tampa versus Carolina.
Okay.
Is there a college game?
I'll come back to that. Probably is. But this time
around... So you're going down the list of things that you prefer to watch, Tim?
Yeah.
Reruns of...
The test pattern?
That's right.
Green Acres comes on MeTV at 8:30 Central.
You've outside of the baby boomers, nobody knows what a test pattern is, Tim.
Well, that's true, Ed. Duly noted.
We watch Andy Griffith.
I remember where I was when I saw my first test pattern.
the Indian on the...
The American play the national anthem at 12 o'clock and the TV channel goes off.
That's right.
That's right.
And you could, if you ever fell asleep watching the movie of the week, you could wake up with that sound and the picture of the test pattern.
Right.
Oh, man.
This is not a test. This time around, though, only 10 of the 20 candidates were able to meet the Democratic Party's requirements of at least 2% support in four polls and contributions from at least 130,000 individual donors, with at least 400 from 20 states. Here's the story, and I've already seen ABC bill this as this. It's going to be Joe versus Elizabeth. That's how I saw ABC actually sell it this morning at 3 a.m.
Called it Texas Showdown, Chris.
It is.
That's what they're calling it.
It's in Houston, and actually, Joe's going to be on one podium, and then right next to him is Elizabeth. You know, she was in the other
Elizabeth
debates.
Warren.
Yes. She was in the other debates. So tonight, it's her opportunity to beat up on Joe because he's still – I'm on a first-name basis with all these candidates.
Sure.
It's her first chance to really kind of beat up on him. He's still leading in the polls, like it or not, right or wrong, for whatever reason. So it's really her opportunity to shine and maybe take some of his support.
She's going
to
shine tonight. I just got a feeling.
It's going to be on ABC News. You can also watch it on Univision.
Problem for me, I won't be watching her shine.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned football. What's interesting, one of the candidates for the party's nomination is this Andrew Yang guy, the guy that wants to tax all the billionaires and give everybody $1,000 a month. He actually tweeted out last night, why are we having a debate the same night as a football game? Football fans vote too. And interestingly enough, somebody from his campaign yesterday promised that he was going to do something tonight no other candidate in the history of debates has done.
Yes.
So here's my speculation. He's going to say it's not right for us to be having a debate. There's a game, and he's going to walk off the stage. That's my prediction.
Who's that? Yang Yang?
Andrew
That's
Yang.
Exactly what people are going to say. Who's that guy that just walked off the stage?
Hey, that would be a great publicity stunt.
It would.
I would advise him against it.
I don't think that's
look
the best
how much,
idea.
Look how much people have taken a hold of. They're not really going to vote for her probably, but a lot of people have given Marianne Williamson, Moonbeam, a lot of publicity for the things that she's saying.
I think that's copyrighted by
Jerry Brown.
Well, he's retired now. He's enjoying his pension.
Did he sell the Moonbeam copyright?
So you think he's going to walk off the – that would be
that would be cool.
Disastrous.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants to stop
be funny.
His campaign, that would be one way to do it.
If he would hold up a football
and spike the football.
Spike the football and walk off the stage.
I also heard somebody joke that he was going to vape on stage, but we'll see.
What do you think, Ray, about this? You know, we're down to 10, I guess, candidates on the Democrat side.
Well, there are others still in the race, but they won't be on the debate stage.
By the way, I do think it's a wise move by the Democrat Party.
Yes.
Not that they're used to taking advice from me, but to narrow the field.
Yes, this helps that.
Huh?
This helps that.
Because the candidates that have a realistic shot on their side, on that side of the aisle, you know, it's time for them to, because we're looking at, you know, they would probably like to decide their candidate by sometime in March, you know, or February, because they don't want to spend all their money fighting each other.
Right.
And they want to take down President Trump. What do you think about, do you see this coming to a Elizabeth Warren versus Joe Biden final?
It sure looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, it looks to me like Sanders is just slowly sinking. I think Sanders, the last time around, he really got millions of people interested in him because of the crazy things he would say. But now he's just the old man in the bunch. So who's left? Biden?
Yeah.
Warren? Who else?
Sanders.
Sanders.
Kamala Harris.
Is there anybody outside those four that even has a realistic shot at it?
I don't think so. But let me add this too. Here's what I think is also happening, and that is when Hillary Clinton was running for the Democratic Party nomination, Bernie Sanders represented what we're now seeing, and that is the radical side to the party.
Right,
and that's why Bernie Sanders had so many. Did so well, almost except for the superdelegates, might have upset Hillary Clinton. What we're seeing this year is that the Democratic Party has been radicalized for the most part, and now those who are far, far lefties have a choice. And so since they have a choice, they don't have to all gravitate to Bernie Sanders, and now they're kind of picking and choosing, and I think that that's why Bernie Sanders is sinking, because they
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren to me is she's now in a good situation. Because she's gonna. I think Bernie Sanders supporters are going to leave him and gravitate towards her.
Right.
Okay. Because she.
She's far left.
She's a new quote new face on the scene representing the same ideas that Bernie does.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders does. Okay. So and then Joe Biden is the former vice president. Everybody sees the same thing. You know, whether you agree with him politically or not, everybody sees this is a man who's in his going to be late 70s by the time.
I think he's 76 now.
Okay,
he's mid November.
Mid, and he's, as President Trump said, Joe's lost his fastball.
Right.
And so that's what he says. And so
that's a perfect description.
Huh?
Perfect.
And he's just not, he's over the hill.
But he is still going to be a support drawer. He's going to draw support from the very large numbers of
anybody but
voters.
Trump people.
Democratic voters who don't want to go so far left.
Right.
He's going to pull a lot of those people who go, "Hey, listen, we're going off a cliff."
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, who else?
I don't know. Maybe there are. It's hard to gauge the Democrat voters out there is where they are, Ray, on the political spectrum now. I'm because Bernie Sanders was 50% of their vote. He was an outright socialist. So I mean,
we had a strange situation, Tim, when Joe Biden now represents quote the moderate
right.
middle of the party.
That's right. Yeah, you got a point here. Elizabeth Warren, we'll see what happens. Elizabeth Warren, Wall Street's terrified. Mainstream business in America is mm-hmm. terrified of a socialist becoming president of the United States. So,
but look, she is far, far left. She's making promises that she cannot keep, but are going to be attractive to the socialist leaning voters. She's a woman. She, you know, Bernie Sanders is an old white guy. And for the identity politics, Democratic voters.
What would you call her? She's white, too.
Well, but she's not an old white guy. That's the worst you can be, is an old straight white guy. She is an older white woman, but she's far enough left that she's like Hillary.
Well, and she doesn't identify as a white woman.
Yeah. That's true.
So I mean, that means something.
You're talking
it?
About the Native American,
yeah.
Slash the
if you
Indian.
Could self-identify as a Native American, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you think Mr. Trump has a preference at this point who he runs against? I think he might even prefer Elizabeth Warren at this point for the very
Agree. I kind of agree with you, Ray. I don't know if he wants to beat up on old Joe. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna have to. Of course, they're only 4 years apart.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, come on, the energy level of Trump versus Biden is just...
Well, it is going to be... It is whoever the Democrats pick, it's looking increasingly like Elizabeth Warren. It's going to be a lot of fun to
if
watch.
If I were President Trump, I would stick with the Big Mac diet and because it's serving him well. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. A lot of people are going, hey, that's what I eat.
Okay. All right. I wouldn't change ties. Go with red.
That's
he likes red. Six out of
don't
seven.
Don't dye your hair, Mr. President. Right. It's fine. Whatever that color is, it's fine.
Whatever the way
other,
color is.
Other day, President Trump said, hey, something to affect my hair. Looks better than most people my age, doesn't it? Something like that. I said,
he's got a point.
That is vintage Trump right there.
Yes, it is.
Huh? All right, what else you got, Chris?
All right, so speaking of the president, he's going to visit Baltimore today for a U.S. House of Representatives retreat. For GOP lawmakers, they just came back
Baltimore.
For recess, so they're going to take a retreat. Okay. That's tax dollars.
Where are they having it there?
It's in Baltimore, which is, you know, we heard a lot about Baltimore in recent weeks because the president had tweeted some things about the state of conditions in Baltimore and Democrats being in control of what he called a rat and rodent infested mess. You know, a lot of people took that and said, you're being racist, Mr. President, things like that. Baltimore has minority population. We actually have, I want to bring back this audio because we talked about it then, and I think it's worth bringing back up today because people are going to bring up the fact that Trump is an air quote racist because he's, you know, doing all this stuff. This was Elijah Cummings back 20 years ago in 1999 calling his home of Baltimore a drug infested zombie city.
I left my community of Baltimore, a drug-infested area, where a lot of the drugs that we're talking about today have already taken the lives of so many children. The same children that I watched 14 or 15 years ago as they grew up, now walking around like zombies. This is only 40 miles away from here.
He was making that comment in Washington, D.C. That's why he said it's 40
about
miles
his
away
home
from
district
here.
From
You're
Baltimore.
Not going to hear this soundbite today on NPR, on MSNBC, on CNN. They're going to talk about how Trump is an awful human being and he's in Baltimore and rubbing it in people's faces and whatever else they can pin on the president.
Now, who's Republicans retreat?
A Republican retreat in Baltimore.
That's an odd place to hold a retreat.
It's close to D.C.
True too. Yeah.
They got a good deal on rooms. You know.
But
they got big breakfast buffet.
What do you think they eat for breakfast?
Excuse me, you guys have that continental breakfast? Where can I get my Danish? I'm with Chris, though. You just got back from recess. Well, let me take a step back from just insulting them. I guess you might want to say, okay, we need to get together and strategize for, you know, the Democrats having a big debate. Before we leave for our Halloween break and our Thanksgiving break and our Christmas break, what we're going to do with the remaining 4 days here before the end of the year.
They get 2 weeks off for Christmas, which 99% of, you know, Congress would call a holiday versus, you know, Christmas.
Let me just say this about Congress, quote, getting things done, end quote. There are things that Congress, by Congress, I mean the House and the Senate, they do that's a regular part of their jobs that are perfunctory, I guess you would say, are routine. Yes, they have to vote on budgets, and they appropriate money for their home districts, and all of them do this, Republicans and Democrats, and if they don't do it, they get voted out, because that's what we want. We want money. We want the bacon brought home. But and other things. So I'm not diminishing the role, obviously, and the importance of the Congress in our American life, and our, but big things on any side, left or right, are not going to get done in this Congress or the foreseeable future at all.
Because of the toxic atmosphere, you mean?
Well, yes, and for the practical reason that you have a filibuster.
Yeah.
In the United States Senate, which requires you to get 60-plus votes for anything you want to do. And that rarely happens. It rarely happens that a filibuster is overcome.
Right.
Because the Senate is divided 52 Republicans, I think, 48 Democrats.
I think that's right.
Something like that. And even after the next election, it'll probably, even if it's 50-50 then, or 53-47 one way or another, nobody's going to get to 60 in this political climate on anything big in the foreseeable future. So some people say that's a good thing. Others
can like, I just take one different approach?
Please do.
To it. If the Democrats keep the House, take the Senate.
Even 51-50?
Even
51-49?
Even 51-49 and take the White House, I believe they'll do away with the filibuster. So to your point, if the filibuster remains, nothing big will get done. I think the Democrats will get rid of the filibuster if they can take the Senate and the White House.
Well, I would be with them on that.
Well, and in terms of, you know, at least...
I don't think the filibuster...
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, I think, you know...
But they will do big things if they get rid
of
the filibuster.
Now, to be fair, the people on the other side who we would agree with on most things will tell you, Tim, you're taking the short view right there, that you need to maintain the filibuster because we, the Republicans, they would say, are going to be in the minority sometime, but we're going to need that.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So I'm just telling you both sides of the argument.
Let me ask you this. Since you brought that up, my answer to that, or at least in my mind, has always been, well, don't lose any more elections. Because that's I mean, it
so who
seems
are you talking
like
a, to?
Republicans. It's, right. It seems like in this day and age, Republicans campaign They don't campaign to win. They campaign not to lose. And there's a difference. Democrats hate each other's guts, but they'll sing together and, you know, hug and sing Kumbaya and kiss each other's babies and whatever until they get in power.
If they can be born.
Yeah.
If they're allowed to.
Touche.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, I would say this, though. Sometimes it's just the reality on the ground. Like in 2018, the Democrats were defending more Senate seats.
True.
And that's going to flip in 2020. Republicans will be defending more seats. So I agree they ought to be always planning to win, but sometimes it's just the reality on the ground is you've got more to lose. Odds are you will lose more of those and could lose the Senate.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Chris and Ray. Switch over to this story on President Trump's judicial appointments.
Yes. You know, one of the things that people said, you know, they voted for President Trump was because elections matter. We're not just electing a president. We're electing Supreme Court justices. We're electing, so to speak, judicial nominees, things like that. And one of the issues that's been playing out really since the president took the oath of office has been the confirmation process with judicial nominees. Tim had came across this story. I don't know where it is in this ginormous stack of paper I have here. But we reached a milestone where we had something like the 150th nomination for a justice. And really, that's been something that's been playing out this year. Democrats had been kind of holding out, trying to hold people in check and, you know, delay the process. But Republicans under Mitch McConnell's leadership took some steps to basically speed along the process. And so here we are.
This is a big deal. Do you have that story?
I do. It's Washington Times.
Read the facts.
It's the U.S. Senate has confirmed President Trump's 150th judicial nominee. This was yesterday, helping to fulfill the president's campaign promise to remake the federal bench with a conservative bent. Again, this is a Washington Times story. Lindsey Graham, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, called the number of confirmations a, quote, historic milestone. He said these conservative judicial appointments will impact our nation for years to come.
And we're already seeing an impact on the Ninth Circuit.
The most liberal.
The circus, as some people have referred to. Yeah. Just this
right, what do you think about this? To me, this is a big deal for the president in terms of re-energizing his base, and especially a lot of Christians who voted for him because of the Supreme Court and the federal courts.
Well, in the first place, if you just look at his nominations, the people, the men and women he's put up, they have been by and large not just excellent, but they have by and large, maybe a few exceptions, but not many. They've been terrific conservative men and women. And I was thinking, you know, there's been a lot of drama in the White House. People coming, people going, you know, there's a that we talk about. And yet behind the scenes from day one, President Trump and Mitch McConnell and folks like the Federalist Society and other good conservative organizations, they have been feeding these names up there. And so now we've got, isn't this an all-time record for nominations?
Yeah, and confirmations. Yeah. And this article says the pace has far outstripped what President Obama did, which was a total of, now this is circuit court and district court, just like the 150 for Trump. 94 for Obama, President Obama, during the same amount of time.
As 150 for President
and
Trump.
And 150 for President Trump. Both of them, both presidents, two Supreme Court.
I got to tell you, President Trump deserves credit for this because it's a campaign promise fulfilled and a big one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A big one. This is huge. Long after President Trump is through tweeting.
Yes.
These federal judges that he's appointed that are conservatives will be sitting on the bench.
He's still got another
year. Basically saved
plus
the court.
Yes.
If Hillary Clinton had been elected, the federal court system, including the Supreme Court,
we have lost it for a generation.
And secondly, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, he deserves credit.
Kudos. Yeah. Lindsey Graham as well.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've done a great job getting past the stonewalling of the Democrats.
So there's my compliments to the establishment for the year. Okay. I did do it. Did I not do it?
You did it, and they deserve it.
They deserve it. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, you've been hearing about our Holy Land tour coming up in March, March 12th through the 20th. Well, it's filling up. In fact, I expect us to be full in the next few weeks. So if you're interested in going with us, if this is your bucket list trip, and maybe this is the year you'd like to go, just go to the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. You know, the great thing about our trip to the Holy Land is experiencing it with brothers and sisters from across the country, many of whom listen to American Family Radio and support American Family Association. So you're going to be with folks of like mind and like spirit. We're going to have a wonderful time visiting Israel. So for more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Horseplay at 40,000 feet. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
The next time you fly to Vegas, you could be sitting next to a horse. The Department of Transportation says airlines must recognize miniature horses as service animals. Last year, Delta banned most non-dog emotional support animals, including anything with a tusk or hooves. They also banned turkeys. The new guideline warns that any airline that rejects a dog or a cat or a horse would face some sort of penalty. The DOT says airlines will not be punished for denying access to service animals like reptiles, ferrets, rodents, spiders, and snakes. Snakes on a plane, geez, hello. They say miniature horses make great service animals. They can live as long as 35 years. They stand about 3 feet tall, weigh 100 pounds. Well, I don't care what the Department of Transportation says. I'm not taking the red eye from New York to Los Angeles sitting next to Mr. Ed. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, good morning again, everybody, and welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the name of the program. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris, and let's see, Kansas City, Kansas. Ray Pritchard is with us. I was trying to see Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas. It's Kansas side, right?
That's right, Kansas.
How many people live in the greater Kansas City area?
Couple million, a little bit over 2 million, I think.
Okay.
Beautiful city.
It's like the population of our state.
I've been there a few times, 3 million.
Yeah.
Actually, I was looking at that the other day for some reason. The state of Kansas and the state of Mississippi are both 3 million.
Okay.
Exactly the same. More wow. people live on the Missouri side, don't they, Ray?
Oh, that's right. I think maybe 75%, something like that, of the population of the city are on the Missouri side.
Yeah.
But the good barbecue's over here.
Got it. I got to get up there.
All Ray needs to do is invite us.
Are you of the dry rub variety, or do you do sauce with your barbecue?
Well, I was raised on Rendezvous ribs from Memphis, yeah. Dry rub all the way. But
preach.
But come to Kansas City, Chris. We've got the sauce that'll make you change your mind.
I do both. I got to have sauce.
Barbecue any way you want to give it to me.
Yeah,
that's right. Just do it. Just fix it.
I can deal with
that.
Yeah. If and when you guys get up to glory and you don't find me, I'll be at the barbecue buffet. Unless it's Tuesday and then I'm having Mexican.
Well, we hope that's the only reason why we can't find you, Chris.
Right.
I remember one time, first time I went to Kansas City, this is 25 years ago, so I actually flew into Kansas City. I know nobody cares about this, but I'll tell you anyway.
I don't. I'm going to look at hockey news if that's all right.
No, you go right ahead. You don't. That doesn't offend me.
He's got to set his fantasy roster.
I get ignored all the time. It doesn't bother me at all. I just keep talking.
I'm listening. I want to hear.
Okay.
It.
I'll just keep talking. Flew into Kansas City, and then I had to go to Grand Island, Nebraska.
Grand Island?
I think that's what it's called. Am I right?
That's exactly right. Sure.
In Nebraska?
Yeah. It's called Grand Island in Nebraska. That's true. And it's a town on the interstate there. But anyway, point is, I drove north and got to St. Joe. That's, what is that, 2 hours from you?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then I had to, before you get to Omaha, between St. Joe and Omaha, you got to turn off on some highway. And it was a Saturday in October. I'm driving through the cornfields, and I'm talking about wall to wall. I'm talking about don't even know where you are, except it's corn from the interstate to Lincoln. And when I hit Lincoln, all I could see was red, because it was a football Saturday in Lincoln. And I'm telling you,
when you started, I said,
it was a religious experience for these people. You know,
that's right.
They came to pay.
Worship service.
Pilgrimage.
Oh, man.
Homage to the Cornhuskers. And you know why they're called the Cornhuskers when you go through. But anyway, but I just remember the cornfields of Nebraska. And then I got to Grand Island later that afternoon. But anyway, never will forget that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Then you understand why it's called the breadbasket of America.
Hey.
Kansas.
Keep it coming.
Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, all up in Iowa. All right. Next door.
Okay.
Next door. We got a guest coming on in 10 minutes, but go ahead.
Okay. I want to air this soundbite. It's getting a lot of attention. It was one of the top stories on Fox News this morning. Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State under George W. Bush, she appeared on the Today Show, and NBC personality Savannah Guthrie asked her about Russian interference in the 2016 election. This is the entire exchange, clip 6.
When you look at the 2016 election and you look at it, how, relatively speaking, it was decided by a handful of votes in a few states, do you think it's possible that Russia's election interference actually worked? It actually elected Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton?
I don't think there is any evidence of that. And, you know, I really don't think that that's a good conversation to have. Mm. I think that really does devalue the people in Wisconsin and Michigan and others who decided to vote for President Trump. But whether you like this president or not, whether you believe that he should have been president or not, let's give the credit to the Americans who went out and voted for somebody who they thought would bring change. And the question is, are we going to be responsive to some of the messages that were out there in Do You Hear Me Now? People who felt that they were disadvantaged by globalization, the unemployed coal miner in West Virginia, the opioid-addicted person in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Are we going to be responsive to those people? That's really the question we should be asking.
She, you know, straight up owned her.
In the immortal words of Elsa, I would say unto Sarah, is it Sarah Guthrie?
Savannah Guthrie.
Savannah Guthrie. Let it go, let it go. Ed, am I on the right track here?
You're doing good.
You are in the right ballpark.
It's my granddaughter.
You are not on the right track.
You know, my granddaughter wants my phone when she's bored with the adults. Mm-hmm. My 3-year-old granddaughter. Yeah. She wants my phone, and she wants it, and she says Elsa.
Oh yeah,
sure.
And I've said this before on the air. The guy who wrote that song,
"Let It Go,"
has formally apologized to parents and grandparents everywhere. He really did. He said, "I am so sorry. I had no idea that that song would become the phenomenon, and that you would have to listen to it as much as you have."
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is a sequel to that coming out this winter.
I saw that. Yeah,
and it will. If it's not in the movie, God have mercy on our souls.
Let
because
It Go
our kids
too?
Are going to hear.
They gonna, she going to sing
Frozen it? 2, Electric Boogaloo, or something. I don't know, but yeah, Frozen 2.
All right, next
Still
story.
Frozen.
Next story, Chris.
Okay, I brought that up because they're going to be talking a lot about Russian interference.
Well, a good answer by Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, she went into enemy territory and straight up embarrassed her on television, which is why I think you hear Savannah go, like that in the soundbite.
Well, Condoleezza Rice I expected is one her to smart ask her, lady.
What was she going to ask next? Did
Lee Harvey Oswald
act alone? Condoleezza, huh? Well, is that what you're going to talk about next?
Yeah.
I mean, she was serious about, okay, let's go back to Russia. Could Russia in 2016? It's 19 now, remember?
Yeah, that's
3 years
true.
Ago.
She apparently still believes the Russians even after the election.
Yeah.
Even after the reports.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of folks on the left, this is Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. She's trending today because she was caught on a hot mic at a recent campaign stop saying Republicans are nicer to her than Democrats. Clip 8.
What does it say that Fox News is nicer to me than the lefties are?
I'm sorry?
What does it say that the conservatives are nicer to me?
It's a bizarre world, ma'am.
It's such a bizarre world. You know, I'm such a lefty. I mean, I'm a serious lefty. But there's so... I understand why people on the right call them godless. I mean, it's like... I didn't think the left was as mean as the right. They are.
Now, that I think she was on Eric Bolling's show when, and they broke for a commercial.
Fox News?
Yeah, because Eric Bolling had her back to explain what she meant by that. But her, you can tell she's seen the light in terms of the cruelty index.
The name of her
Love Trump's
Fox
hate.
Yeah. I've seen the light
through the crystals.
She's not talking about Jesus there.
No, no.
She's
right. What do you know about Marianne?
Almost nothing. But I'm sorry, she's not going to be on the debate tonight because she's the one. The rest of the Democrats, they all sound the same to me. They're all singing off the same, you know, page, same hymn book. She's not only not on the same page or same hymn book.
Right.
We're not even in the same orchestra at all. When she starts talking, she's coming from another galaxy, which makes her at least. I don't want her to be president, but at least she's interesting to listen to. She's very new age, right?
How did she make her?
Oh yeah, she's new
how
age.
How did she make her name? Didn't she have? Was it a Course on Miracles?
Was it a Course on Miracles?
I guess
miracles?
That's right. Yeah.
We asked this last time, and I think she was. I looked it up. I think she
that
was
sounds right.
Connected with that in some way, and she's right. Also written a couple of very popular books. She's a best selling author, and her new age ideas.
She believes in a lot of positive energy.
Yeah.
She brings it.
Crystals.
That's right. The whole deal.
She. To be fair to her, I think she's denied the whole crystal thing.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Chris.
I mean, I'm not buying it, but she has denied it.
Yeah.
I'm just
kidding. Well, who would you rather listen to, Marianne Williamson or Andrew Yang? You know, I listen to Andrew Yang if he spikes the football tonight, but otherwise,
yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going with Marianne.
What's interesting with Yang is his ideas are unconventional
or Bill Belichick.
For a lot of these people. That's the
appeal. Bill Belichick in that mix, then who you pick
that's right.
to listen to.
Yeah, Belichick comes out there in the hoodie and does that for like 30 minutes.
He's into crystals too, I think, Bill Belichick. I'm just, no.
He's into fashion.
I will make a serious comment
he's into
here
fashion.
Too long. Yes, he is. Huh? A particular kind of fashion.
Hey, you win that many Super Bowls, you can do whatever you want to.
Wear whatever hoodie you like.
Come out there that's wearing right. jean shorts. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Alan
that's
Paris.
Right.
All right. Got time for one more story before our guest.
I don't know if you've seen this, but Hillary Clinton, still finding a way to bask in the spotlight somehow, she went to an exhibit
where there is a
replica of the Oval Office Resolute desk, which for whatever reason at this exhibit has a stack of various emails from her printed out. She went to this to not only see this, but she sat down behind the desk and then started flipping through all of the emails, which some might say she should never have had on a private server and shared and all that stuff. And
it turned into a big photo op. Hillary Clinton is in Venice, Italy, I guess on a vacation. And
recess. It's a recess like Congress.
Okay, so she sits down at a desk.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to look like the one in the Oval Office.
Not in her hotel room.
No.
Just out in the lobby somewhere.
At wherever this exhibit is.
And starts reading, displays a replica of her Oval Office Resolute desk and over 60,000 pages of emails. This is crazy. This is like Saturday Night Live.
It was really. I think it was a shot at Republicans because she herself on her Twitter page, she had a picture of her and she said, "I found all of my emails. Alert the House GOP." I mean, she's arrogant. There's no other word to use.
This is one of those art exhibits that people act out. So you have the desk, looks like the Oval Office, with a stack of emails. She sits down at it and pretends like she's reading her emails. No, she's sticking a thumb in the eye of Republicans saying, "Oh, okay, here are all my emails about yoga and wedding plans."
I get most humor, but from time to time it has to be explained to me.
Yeah.
You know,
I have not been able to confirm.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's not real fun.
I've not been able to confirm whether she wiped anything down with a cloth, but I will find that out for you and get back.
You mean like a cloth or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that 62. Was
white. My joke failed, horrible. But you saved right. me. Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Chris, and Ray, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, as long as it's Marianne Williamson positive, you can go to comments@afr.net.
We will not listen to even constructive
negativity.
Criticism. That's right.
We're not listening.
Don't bring me down.
Right.
That's right.
ELO, 1974.
Don't bring me down, Bruce.
I don't think Bruce was.
I know.
You know. Okay.
It's gross or
we
something.
Go into that later. So tomorrow will be Trivia Friday, and you can tune in for that. We have a lot of fun on that show. That's tomorrow, Trivia Friday. We are going to now go to the great state of Georgia. Ralph Barker is on with us. Ralph's longtime friend and does a lot of ministry work there in his home state. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing great, Tim. I was just thinking about how long we've known each other. I feel old.
How was that, 30 years or so?
Yeah, at least 30. Oh, my gosh. And we've both been working for the same type of things. I just want to say up front, nobody has a better magazine than your AFA Journal. I just love that magazine.
Well, thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And I will pass that on to our editor.
Absolutely.
And our writers and everybody who puts that together.
Fine staff of writers there.
Yeah, award-winning writers.
I tell my pastor, I'm head of the Pastors Association here. I'm always telling them to get that magazine. I give them copies when I have them. So hopefully they will pick up on that too.
Hey, what are you doing nowadays there? Where do you live, in the Atlanta area?
Yeah, well, I'm in North Georgia, about 60 miles north. I'm still on the board of American Vision Ministry, head of the Ministers Association. I've been doing PowerPoint presentations on the history of the New Testament and just doing all kinds of things, citizens law enforcement. I'm involved with that, and that's part of what we're doing, this event we're talking about next.
Well, I wanted you to talk about that because what you're doing there in North Georgia, people may want to replicate across the country, because when I heard what you were doing, I thought, man, this is a great idea. So just explain it to everybody.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can.
We can, we can hear you now.
My phone did something funny. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, that's why we're doing this event next week, to honor all the first responders in the county because of what's been going around the country, the way they've been disrespected and had water thrown on them and who knows what else. So we just thought it was time to stand up and say, you know, this community is going to honor their first responders. So as Starbucks is sponsoring it for us, that's where I am right now, and we're going to have coffee and donuts. We've got about 42 prizes to give away, including the grand prize of a Smith & Wesson Shield handgun, which the police will love. So it's just exciting to see this community come together. Everybody I talk to gives us something to give away for the drawings.
What county is that?
This is Gilmer County, LJ, Georgia. It's a small county, probably 25,000-30,000 people in the whole county, but it's growing like crazy. We're right at the cusp of the North Georgia Mountains.
Yeah, Atlanta's threatening to take over East Tennessee.
Yeah.
In fact, so they're gonna rage through North Georgia.
Hey Ray, this is Ed Vitagliano. I just want to reiterate for people who are listening, maybe coming in on the tail end of this, what you guys have done there is in order to honor the first responders there in your particular case at the Starbucks there. People can drop in at any time, enjoy free coffee, donuts, other goodies. You have drawings. But anyway, it is a time in which you invite people in the community to thank your first responders, right?
Exactly. And we're hoping this will inspire other communities to do the same thing. That's one of our motives, is just that other people will say, you know, we can do something. I'm a graduate of Citizens Law Enforcement. I go out and ride patrol with the deputy sheriffs here. I'm also a bailiff, so I'm very connected to the law enforcement. I know how hard these people work, how little they're paid. And thankfully, in this community, people respect our police officers and our firemen and EMTs.
Where can people, if they live close to you, I don't know how many listeners we have in that area, but what can they do here? Where can they find out more information?
Well, if they in the area and they want to drop by and pat them on the back, that'd be great. We're still got a couple of bills to pay, and we got most of our bills paid. About another $100, $200 will be all done, so that's going well. I can't complain. People have just been so generous.
What, do you have a Facebook page or website or anything?
No, it's just me. It's me and my brother. This is no organization, no nonprofit.
Me and my brother. Meandmybrother.com.
I ought to get that.
Is that
one.
What it
That'd
is? You should have got
you know,
that
Ray
one.
Ray Barker is my brother, and he went through citizen law enforcement. He's just having so much fun with this, just seeing the community come together. Mm-hmm. But if they're in the area, tell them to drop by and have a cup of coffee. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. next Thursday the 19th here in LJ, Georgia.
LJ, Georgia, Starbucks, 5 to 9, September the 19th. Thursday.
Yep. And if someone wants to contact me, I have a Facebook page. It's Ralph Barker and Ella J. So tell them free to contact me, and I'd be glad to talk to them.
Ella J is ELLIJAY, Georgia. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ralph. God bless you, brother.
You too. We'll see you later.
Okay. Take care. Ralph Bye. Barker, longtime friend there in
I think it's a
Georgia.
Great idea. I hope listeners will will also like the idea and might try to do something in their own community.
I would like to go to his History of the New Testament seminar. He said he did. Did you hear him talk about that?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Probably can.
I'm not driving all the way to LJ, Georgia for that.
And he doesn't sound like the kind of guy who's going to, like, have a podcast or...
No, it's just him and his brother.
Yeah. That's right. That's what great. I was getting at. That's just right. Me and my brother, so...
I wanted to ask him, is he heavy?
If his brother's heavy?
Heavy.
He's not heavy. He's his brother.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Good, Ed.
Yeah. Listen, you and I are from the same generation.
Yeah, we played that well and didn't even plan it.
I'm understand.
I'm just going to nod my head and pretend like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Wasn't that the Osmonds? Right?
He's not,
who
he's
did
not
that?
Heavy. No.
The Osmonds did it, but
who
somebody else
first?
May have done it
somebody
before.
Somebody help us
he's
out.
He's not heavy.
Yeah, it wasn't Ed.
Let it go, Ed.
You don't even have to wait for Trivia Friday.
That's right.
All right, you're listening to American Family Radio, not Casey Kasem. Countdown. All right, the next story, Chris.
Well, I wanted to bring up a couple of economic stories on CNSnews.com. They have a story out today, the headline being, number of Americans on food stamps falls 6.6 million since President Trump took office. Meanwhile,
is that good?
It is good, yes. That means less people are on the government dole, so to speak, and not having to depend on the government to make sure they have food on the table. And there's also another story out today. This is a weekly number that comes out on jobless claims, first-time unemployment claims, things like that. U.S. jobless claims fall to nearly five-month low of 204,000 around Labor Day holiday. I bring this up because people that are looking to run against President Trump in November of next year say that the economy is not working, it's not helping everybody. These numbers are just a couple of things in the news cycle that seem to disagree. So I don't know necessarily what Democrats have to run against President Trump on.
He's
other than they don't like him and he's not the, you know, believe me when I say I'm better.
He's a white nationalist, Chris. Have you not been paying attention?
They got that
he's, quote, a racist.
Right.
And then, like Bill Maher said, they can hope that the economy goes into a recession.
How bizarre and unpatriotic is that when you hope
No, they do. They do. Bill Maher said he hopes the economy.
Yeah, he said it would be worth it.
And others have said that in the left, that it would be worth it if the economy tanks, people get out of work so that we can get President Trump out of there. Hey, I wanted to mention one other story. Did we mention about the Supreme Court ruling in President Trump's favor yesterday?
We did not.
This is huge. This is a huge story. I'm surprised We didn't cover this, but we had a lot of other stuff going on.
We were singing Let It Go. We had true. No time.
Well, I kind of picked a, I pitched a couple of other topics. So
well, President Trump says, as far as illegal immigrants, don't let them go.
don't let them come.
Right. Well, you know, we have rules you got to follow,
yes.
The president says. And if you don't follow them, you don't get to come into our country.
Right.
But this is a big, big story. And Chris, tell us the thumbnail of the facts, and then get that right comment, and then go ahead.
Okay. Well, the story is this. Here's the deal. The Supreme Court freed the Trump administration yesterday to implement its policy denying asylum to migrants at the southern border who have not sought protection from another country en route. You know, the administration said weeks, if not months ago, that basically if you're coming here from some country in Central America or wherever, you got to ask
A lot of people
permission.
Are. They're coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras.
Coming from Africa as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even India. I mean, there have been, you know, things like that. So basically it's a temporary ruling in favor of President Trump. But for right now, the administration can say you migrant from wherever have to ask for asylum before you get here.
Yeah, you went in Mexico. If you're going to asylum is you're fleeing a desperate life-threatening situation. That's what asylum is.
Right.
Is okay. And what the president has said is, and I think this is the law. I think it's written down in the law somewhere that you have to you can't just tour Mexico, okay, and then say I'm America or bust. Okay. If you're in that dire situation, Ray. What the president has said is they need to apply for asylum in the first country they come to.
You can't pick your country. If you're in that kind of trouble, if you're going through country A, B, and C, but you really want to get to D, when you get to country A, you've got to apply for asylum there, and you've got to be rejected. Only then, when you finally get to our border, will we consider you, right? So, I mean, this is a common sense kind of rule, it seems to me.
I wonder if this will be brought up at the Democrat debate tonight because – This is just common sense, too. And we all know what's going on here. All of us do across the country, right, left, everywhere. Everybody knows that our asylum laws are being abused by these folks who are coming from Central America in particular. They are claiming asylum when the asylum, the reason for asylum does not fit them.
Right.
Okay? If it does, then it fits everybody in the world who's poor. Okay, everybody can just claim asylum from around the world, and am I not right about that?
Yeah,
sure.
So we're talking.
If you're, in other words, if you are fleeing Colombia because you're afraid for your life, and you start off by going through Nicaragua, and then I always have trouble saying that, and then Costa Rica. Well, if you're just fleeing Colombia, it wouldn't matter where you go. You go to Nicaragua and you say, "I want asylum. I can't live in Colombia."
Right. But I have an imminent life-threatening situation.
Yes, but what they're doing is they're using asylum. They've been coached to use the word asylum as a way to get into the United States for a better life, not to escape a life-threatening situation.
Right. So
this is a great ruling,
yes.
And it's a great policy. I'm not sure if it's a law or part of the Trump administration's executive orders, but this makes so much sense. If you're fleeing a situation.
I would say this is brilliant by the president. Doing this because he's not saying there's no asylum laws. He's not being a dictator. He's saying, listen, if you're going to claim asylum, you live in Honduras, you got to claim asylum at the first country you come to, which is Mexico. Chris, tell our folks about One News Now.
Yeah, One News Now is the online news outfit for American Family Radio News. So the stories you hear at the top of every hour on our newscasts, you can find at onenewsnow.com. There's a ton of additional content not always featured in a newscast, so please do check it out. We'd love to have you, and we update stuff constantly. Yeah. Thanks to Jody Brown, Billy Davis, and many other people.
Chris, in the words of, you know, keeping with the top 40 theme here we got going on, you can hit the road, Jack. Okay.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Okay, but you can come back.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, all right.
But don't you come back no more.
No.
All right.
He still doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, I know the song. Yeah. I'm familiar. Okay. I've heard it before.
All right.
It was on an oldies station.
We'll be back.
Well played, sir.
Nice.
Well,
nicely done.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.